Scripture reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning in verse 12, but I changed my mind this morning and I'm going to extend it to verse 26, so you get more than you bargained for. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. We are working our way steadily through this this section here. It's basically chapters 12 through 14. That cover spiritual gifts and really are talking about the life of the church and how the church works. In the last 2 weeks, I've pretty well laid out most of the background and foundation to what Paul is talking about. And so now we get to see some kind of interesting usage of all of this. Because Paul talked about the different gifts in the verses just previous here. He talked about the gifts being given to different ones and different purposes. It is given to each one individually as he wills. And then he goes into what is basically a kind of descriptive metaphor about the body and the way that the both the human body and the church body are put together. Because Paul's main message is about unity. This is the thing that I think underlies just about everything that he's saying in 1 Corinthians, is he wants to restore unity in the church there in Corinth. And there are divisions that have come up, and there have been a lot of problems. And so as he's looking at these things, he's looking at how do I present this in a way that brings people back together, that puts the church back together. And as he talked about the gifts, he talked about all the people receiving these things, he was talking about them coming from a common source, that they came from the same Spirit. You know, and if we go back to 12:4, yeah, we get to backtrack. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Then there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. That this is coming from that unified place. It's all coming from God. And so he's bringing them into this perspective, that they're looking at these as all being related. These aren't gifts that this person has and that person has, and they're completely different and have different uses and purposes, but that they come from the same source. So that even though they are used differently and they accomplish different things, they are working for the same God to the same end. They came from the same place. When I do premarital, this is going to fall off of here, but I need both hands because I can't talk with one hand. It's like the invisible map. Sometimes you need two hands. But when I do premarriage counseling, one of the things that I talk about is the pyramid design of a relationship. That if you have a husband and a wife, and they're on this pyramid design with God at the top, that as they draw closer to God, they're also drawing closer together. That the relationship gets tighter as it goes up. Well, this is the same idea with these gifts that Paul's talking about, is that gift A and gift B that are being used to do different things, but if you head them back to God, they come to the same place. And this is the unity that Paul wants in the church. He wants the church to be built around God, to be focused on Christ and on His sacrifice. He wants them all to be coming from and looking to the same place. And so, when we get into to verse 12, and we go from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, we've got this very colorful sort of illustration that he uses. It's a picture of the church as the body of Christ. And particularly, it's about the idea of a bunch of different parts that work together to make the church a whole, so that it's unified out of a whole bunch of different pieces. And this is something that, you know, his Greek listeners, this is a very common sort of thought in their philosophy, is the idea that the whole is comprised of many parts and that they come together. And so, drawing this into the church, he's using something that the people really understand, that, yeah, all of those different bits and pieces are necessary to make the whole work. And you can't leave pieces out. You can't throw extras in without creating problems. The extras would be those that actually are not part of the family of God, not part of the body of Christ. You could end up with extras. He doesn't talk about that, but it's kind of an aside to the point. So he talks about the body. And for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Yeah, reading Paul out loud can sometimes be a challenge. The word body is a good one, because the Greek word is soma, and it translates exactly and is used exactly the way we use the word body. So it's an easy kind of crossover. And the basic common meaning, if you talk about the body, is, you know, the physical being of a person or an animal or something. That's the body. But also, like in English, is that body is used to mean a group. So particularly like a family group or some kind of a fellowship of some sort, any grouping of people that come together are referred to as a body. So, you know, the body of believers. And used in all sorts of different senses, but that idea of a bunch of different people who come together around a common thing as a body. And we use body in that sense in English very well. But the thing that's in Greek that's kind of underlying this, that's an interesting thing, is that the Greek word is derived from a word which means to make whole or to heal. And when I was looking at that, this is a very interesting sort of connection, because there's sort of that idea of the body, particularly in the sense of a body of people, a group of people brought together, is that it's being made whole from different parts and healed into one. And I have to think that as Paul is going through here, as he is writing this letter and he's using these words, is that in the back of his mind, there's a little bit of wordplay going on. That Paul is playing with the idea of healing the body. That the body is being made whole. And so when he uses that word body, that's one of those little things that's kind of behind that. Paul's a very creative wordsmith. And sometimes there's some things hidden there that aren't obvious. So we have the sense of the body, the the individual as a being, the body as the believers. And Paul goes into this. He says the body is one, has many members, they're all one body. So also Christ, you know, that Christ is this way. And here he gets into some kind of figurative sort of things, because he says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now, he uses that in there. He says, you know, so also is Christ. And then he goes and he talks about the being put together by one Spirit. He's using Christ there in the sense of the church. He's making a connection that isn't explicit, but he uses the term, the name Christ, to speak of the church. I mean, Christ, the person, Jesus, is not divided up into parts. You know, yes, arms, hands, legs, all of that, but not in the sense that he's going at here. And so he's giving them the idea that you, as the church, are Christ. You represent Christ in the world. You are the ones who are doing the work of Christ. And you are the parts of the body of Christ. And so he's using those kind of illustrations, that connection, to emphasize to them that they have a common relationship and a common purpose. Again, we're thinking unity. We're trying to build this. And so he talks about being joined to Christ in baptism. And by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now, their body, you know, okay, human body, church body, body of Christ. Now, he's just referenced Christ in a way that makes this tie back to Christ. And so the implication in this is that by one Spirit, you're baptized into one body, that body being Christ. So you've been baptized into Christ. You become Christ's body on earth. This is Paul laying out his intention for the church, that the church be the work of God as Christ was the work of God. And so we go back, and I'm going to pull a couple of things as we go along here that Paul had to say about related ideas, but in Romans 6:3, Paul is talking about the nature of sin and things. And in 6:3 he says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, there's a huge amount of stuff we could go on to there, but I really want to zero in on two things here. One is, he uses that term, he talks about united, joined together, made one with. And so this is the picture that he's using, baptized into Christ Jesus. That into is about uniting, becoming part of, and unified with. And so this is the thing that Paul's been teaching and continues to teach, is the idea of becoming with Christ. And he talks about that we were buried with him through baptism, that in baptism there's this joining in the death of Christ. There's a symbolic connection there. Again, there's a lot of stuff that we could go into that we're not going to. But it's that joining with, being part of what Christ went through, what he did. And so, if we've been baptized into Christ Jesus through his Spirit here, then he talks about the kind of the, I think really the transformative power of the Spirit in the baptism, that this isn't about their being dunked in water, but it's mostly about the fact that they have been transformed, they've been changed, they've been made a part of Christ through their commitment, which is manifested in baptism. And again, we've got references that go back to baptism and how the Spirit works in all of that. And in Matthew 3:11, we have John the Baptist. If we're going to talk about baptism, you got to talk about John the Baptist, right? And John the Baptist says this. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And so John the Baptist prophesies regarding Jesus that there is coming a different kind of baptism. The baptism that John the Baptist preached was, and that he was doing, was traditional Jewish kind of baptism, in that it was symbolic washing. It was cleaning. And when he talks about he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, he says he's going to not just wash off the dirt from the outside, not just symbolically clean you by going into the water, but he is going to use the Holy Spirit to truly transform you, truly change you, make you different. That in that baptizing in the Holy Spirit, you will become someone different and you will be made new. And so this is the baptism, as Paul writes about this is the baptism that he's looking back toward, is the baptism of Christ, that baptism which is the Holy Spirit changing and transforming us, making us into someone different. And again, that back into Romans to cite a little bit more of what Paul is talking about here in Romans 8, let's see. I honestly don't know where to start here. Let's start in 9. Romans 8:9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Boy, we could keep... No, we'll stop. I'm very easily sidetracked. I do this when I'm preparing these things, and I'm not going to get sidetracked here. Okay, that indeed the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, he uses this as a measure, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. This is the measure of salvation. This is the thing that indicates salvation. The sign of the true believer is that the Holy Spirit is in them, is transforming them, is changing them, is empowering them, is giving them the ability to live for Christ, to follow Christ. And so the church in Corinth is now hearing this, as he's saying this to them. He says, "By one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." By the Spirit of Christ, we are baptized into Christ. The Holy Spirit is the thing that brings us into the body of Christ. And because we have believed, we have received the Holy Spirit, because we have received the Holy Spirit, that's that being baptized into the Spirit, is that we have now become a part of the body of Christ. And we are all part of that. And so he adds in here this kind of parenthesis where he talks about, you know, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. We'll come back to the slave. Well, the drinking thing here is an interesting one because he says, have all been made to drink into one spirit. Because the word which is talked about there for drink is one which is not just having a sip of water, but it is the same word that would be used to water your garden, to saturate something. It's not just a little sip, but it's drink to satiation, completely, totally saturated. And so he's giving the idea here that all have been made to drink into one spirit. All have been utterly, totally saturated and infused with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is not something that you just got a little dab of when you became a believer, but it is completely indwelling you. He is entirely in you in every way and controlling in every way. And so he says, you are the Spirit's. You belong to Christ through the Holy Spirit. This is what it meant when you came and said you believed, that you became a part of Jesus Christ through all of this. We're racing around a lot. In John chapter 7, Jesus talks about the Spirit here. And 7:37, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit as rivers flowing out of them, living water flowing out of them, that they would be filled up and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. He also talked, you remember when Jesus met with the Samaritan woman at the well and says, you know, I could give you water so that you would never thirst again. You know, he wasn't talking about the water from the well. He's talking about the water of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would give a filling that she would never again thirst for God. She would never again seek God or seek to know what was right because she would know, because God's Spirit would completely and utterly fill her. So Paul is laying out this relationship that the believers have to Christ through the Holy Spirit and through that filling and baptizing in the Holy Spirit. So to backtrack into his aside there, he talks about Jews or Greeks and things, is that there is no distinction. And this is, okay, here is how you are saved. Here's how that salvation went together and everything. But it wasn't something that was just for the Jews. It wasn't something that was just for the Gentiles. It wasn't isolated to one group or the other. He says this was for anyone who was willing to believe, that they were able to come to Christ and they would receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, that they would be filled up to overflowing. And they wouldn't have those distinctions. Now, we don't have explicit talk in 1 Corinthians about divisions between the Jews and Greeks. That was, remember when we went through Galatians and we were talking about the fact that the Galatian churches were confronting a major problem of the Judaizers who were creating a division between the Jews and the Gentile believers. And they were trying to create this schism there. That was a major theme in Galatians. We don't see that in Corinthians, but I'm sure that there was some of that present, that there was a division there. And then he talks about the slave and free. And again, that we don't see that there's an explicit problem with that, but this is a cultural divide. And so you've got a religious divide that he calls out here. And believe me, there's a huge religious divide between the Jews and the Greeks in terms of their background and perspective and everything. And then there's this division between the slave and the free. And he says, you know, there's not a distinction made in God's eyes. You know, he's deliberately emphasizing that salvation does not depend on human characteristics. It doesn't depend on our abilities. It doesn't depend on our circumstances, our standing in life, or anything. It's entirely the work of God. He says this is available to all who will believe. And, you know, in fact, earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about, you know, some of you are say, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, you know, I'm of Christ. You know, the different arguments, the factions they had because of the different teachers there. You know, they had these things that were dividing them. And, you know, honestly, the Jew, Greek, slave, free divides were probably low-hanging fruit in the argument. Those were very easy ones. They were obvious to people, and they were a common sort of division. Things where people separated up the church body. But so if the Spirit is what unifies, if they all have the common Spirit, then that this is all coming from God. That each person, it's not a different Spirit for the Greek. It's not a different Spirit for the slave as from the free, whatever. But everybody is in the same Spirit and in the body of Christ. That's the critical thing, is that through the Spirit they have been made part of the body of Christ. And so he goes on and he wants to talk about, okay, so in fact the body is not one member, but many. And this is the interesting sort of flip on this. He's talked about unity, that you're all baptized into Christ. You are all in the body of Christ. By one Spirit, you've all been brought into one. But that one isn't one, it's many. You see, so he throws that in there to kind of rock them back and forth on this, I think. But the idea that the body is not one member but many is that you've got multiple pieces that all come together. And that while God is bringing them all together, they still are different pieces. They're not the same. You know, I added verses to the end of this because this was going to be short. You're laughing at me. I should know. I've been doing this for 22 years. I should know by now that it's never short. we're gonna draw a line here and we'll finish this next week. We know that the body, the church, the universal church of believers is the body of Christ. And it is one as Christ is one. There is one Savior. There is one Lord. There is one Spirit. We are all one. There's a song, something about we're one in the Spirit. Yeah, we are all one in the body of Christ. We are unified. But he says, you are unified as distinct and different parts, which have distinct and different purposes, and distinct and different uses. And so as we are the body of Christ, we need to look, as that pyramid narrows, we need to keep our eye on God's. We need to be looking up, focusing on Christ, and that brings us together around Him, makes us unified, but we have to remember that we still have our distinctions. We are still different. And the body can't function if it's not unified. And the body can't function if it's not made of distinct pieces. Those two parts are absolutely essential together. And it's part of what makes making the church make sense, making the church function, such a challenge. We are going to stop here. I know it's a little early, but we're going to stop here, and we will continue talking about the parts of the body next week. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the way that you've made us, for the way that you've saved us. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit and for how through your Spirit you have transformed us. You've made us different. You shape us. You direct us. You guide us. And you bring us together. You make, just cement us into a single unified body. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to listen to your Spirit as you speak to us and control us, that we would be able to lean on you to come together as your body, to be able to see ourselves as part of you, Lord, as your work here on earth, as the ones who are accomplishing your tasks and serving you here on earth. Just pray for your hand on us and your guidance, Lord, as we struggle through this. In Jesus' name, amen.